Okay, so that was Warren Gatland there speaking after a 32-10 win for the Lions against the Mary All Blacks this morning. I'm delighted to say Hayden Triggs has joined us, a former Mary All Black yourself.
Killed it. Yeah, good result for the Lions.
Yeah. What's that whole experience like for the Mary All Blacks? What does it actually mean for the players?
It doesn't matter who you play. It's to put on that jersey, like, it's very intricate. It means a lot. It's probably the main thing, that when you join the Māori team, you're notified straight away what you're playing for, who you're playing for. It doesn't matter who you're playing. You put every effort into it. So it's a special team.
You played 7 or 8, maybe nine games for them?
9 games, yeah.
Yeah, against Ireland A. You played in the Churchill Cup, that kind of at that level?
Yeah, the Churchill Cup. My biggest memory is when we had the Irish and English come over to New Zealand. It was 100 years of Māori rugby. Massive event and campaign.
Beat them both,
yeah. We played a New Zealand Barbarians team that was kind of players trying to make the All Blacks back then, and yeah, we beat them as well. But we went to like places like Rotorua, Whangarei and Napier, which are like cultural hubs of New Zealand Māori, and the reception was massive every time we went, so it's a great memory.
How do you get picked for the team? What are the criteria?
So the criteria is to have Māori blood running through you, and that can come from your mother, your father, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, great-great-great, just somewhere you have to be linked to Māori heritage. And what usually happens, what people don't know, is you may not know it yourself, but somewhere along the line, your mother's dad or your dad's mum or something along the line will have links to Māori somewhere in their family. And you've delving a little bit into it, you find out a lot about yourself.
And yeah, I'd say so.
About where your heritage comes from and your people and your waka, which is boat, and where you come from. It's a different world, yeah.
So what was that whole process like for you? Did you always know that you had Māori blood somewhere along the line?
Yeah, my mum's Māori. I grew up, like, funnily enough, like, I'm not sure. I'm a Hori. So that's like a casual Māori slang term. It's Jamison Gisden Park. He's a remaining Hori in Leinster. But what that means is, like, I was brought up in a Māori community. My mum and stepdad were heavily Māori. All their families, their wider family were Māori. So, like, I was always at aunties, uncles, cousins, staying, kicking with my cousins, really. And then I went to a Māori boarding school, which was about 2 hours up the road in the middle of a farm, rural as 250 boys out there for...
Pretty intense.
That's a word for it, yeah. Just a different experience.
Yeah. Why? Why did you go there? Was it because... Obviously, the whole Māori tradition was very important.
I went there because my stepdad's uncle worked there.
Right.
And he, you know, he was a classic Māori, could play the guitar, sing any tune, very religious, very disciplined, like just really, really good people.
Yeah.
And the schools around my community or area or city kind of weren't going to do it for me. So my mum decided to... Send me to Polder, and very tough at the start, very very different to what I was compared to.
Well, you're 12 and you've left home.
Left home for 6-7 months of the year. And it wasn't weekend visits, like my mum was 2 hours away. Like I'd seen her in school holidays.
Yeah.
So.
That'll make a man of you pretty quick.
Exactly, like now I'm very, very grateful for the experience. At the time, probably not too much, crying into my pillow.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, but. It just made me the man what I am today. So,
if it's a Māori secondary school, what's the difference between a Māori secondary school and a non-Māori secondary school? Like, what is the emphasis? Is it religion or is it?
Nah, religious. Like mine was a Catholic school.
Okay,
and pretty much the only way to separate them would be that Māori language was compulsory at my school, where at like a public or private school, it's a subject that you can pick if you want to.
Right.
We got taught, you know, religious education in Māori. Still had English and maths, all in English. Science was in English. But we had maths every morning in Māori. We had Sunday maths on Sunday morning in Māori. Māori class your form time before school was all in Māori. So, kapa haka, which is dancing, performing, was compulsory.
Right.
It just kind of threw you in the deep end and see if you could swim.
Yeah, so it's proper immersion in the full time in the Māori culture.
Immersion,
so
that's the word I was looking for.
When you get picked for the New Zealand Māori, it's not like somebody's done a DNA test and you found 16 generations back there's somebody there. This is like an absolutely huge moment for you.
It is, yeah. And if you're any way at all in touch with your Māori heritage before you make that team, it's dream come true stuff because to us, or to the Māori people, that is the All Blacks. Like that's it's your Māori people, your heritage, no matter where you're from along the country, because they differ a lot where you come from in the country. You're representing everybody. Whoever gets to put their jersey on, doesn't matter where you're from, you're Māori.
Yeah.
And that's heavily emphasised when we get in there. Yeah.
And I guess at that stage in your career, playing for the All Blacks wasn't realistic.
Nah.
Or was it?
For me personally, yeah, it was always a dream. Like that was the number one goal. As you kind of started getting, well, especially for your age group, you kind of see who the lads are that are playing for the All Blacks and the ones that are destined to go on a little bit.
Some all-time greats might have been just a bit ahead of you.
Yeah, exactly. And like there were some very good second rowers in front of me, so like I accepted that and. It definitely didn't put a dampener on making the Māoris just because the All Blacks was higher, but
yeah.
It made it even more special. That
it's kind of a different thing, it sounds like. The pure rugby part of you obviously wants to play for the All Blacks.
For the All Blacks.
But this is a spiritual thing as much as...
That's nail on the head stuff. Like it is spiritual. It's more than just playing the rugby. You find out more about you and like you honestly grow in that environment. They do there's an old guy... We call him a kaumātua, which is just an elder statesman. And through my time, they had some actually like beautiful, wonderful people who knew so much about the Māori tradition, about, say, I'm from Ngāti Kahanunu, which is a tribe on the East Coast. They knew lineage from there, how it linked to your family even.
Yeah.
Like, the more they kind of... I was there 3, 4, 5 years, so they kind of got to know me, and each year they just delved deeper and they'd come out with nuggets of knowledge, and you're like, oh my God, that's made you connected more to the jersey than ever before. And
did you engage more because of the rugby? That like this, you know, so you go to a Māori boarding school and obviously you're immersed in it, but like loads of people go to boarding school and they're immersed in it and they're like, that's just school.
Mm.
The rest of your life, you're kind of like, yeah, that was an interesting schooling thing, but then to actually go afterwards and as an adult, learn about things, you know, it's a different mindset. You're choosing to learn about it as opposed to it being indoctrinated.
Yeah, like I was at school and learning, I did really good in Māori language. Like I could speak, I could listen, I could write. Where now I've kind of, because I've been away from it, lost it, and already I want to connect back into that simple way as learning the language and trying to connect back to what I was sort of thing. But
yeah.
Even though I know more now about what's happened in my heritage, I need to connect back by the basics, which is speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you represent yourself far. Once you make that team, mate, it's you almost want to be, you know, back in the days, paddling your waka and wearing grass skirts, hunting rabbits with your spear. You
yeah.
Know, it goes deep.
Yeah, it sounds great. Murray Kinsella is on the line. So, Murray, this was more than just a game then this morning in many respects, that the Lions had to overcome something very special and they did a really good job of it, but kind of taking all that into account, it kind of adds an extra layer of intensity and maybe suddenly we begin to understand, because Hayden has explained it so well, why people were talking pre-game about this having a bang of a fourth test off it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you saw as soon as the Māori All Blacks started performing their haka, just how intense a test it was going to be. It was pretty special, especially here in the stadium. The kind of smoke was still over the pitch after the fireworks. And it was really powerful, really loud haka. The Lions needed to make a really strong start, and I thought they did. I thought Johnny Sexton immediately took control of things. I thought Conor Murray kicked really well. I thought there was a lot of composure there, and certainly the kind of composure that the Lions are going to need in the first test against the All Blacks.
Yeah, Hayden, what did you make of the Lions' performance today?
Obviously I have a foot in both camps, being from here and knowing a few lads playing. I was proud of the Lions. Like, they needed that. and not just in the win, in the way they played. Their breakdown was far more efficient on attack, and they were pressurising defence. As I said, Johnny was composed, and that's what they needed.
Yeah, Sexton did need a big performance today, and he really did answer some of the questions that we'd had over the first couple of weeks. Because Murray, you know, obviously Owen Farrell is injured, wasn't on the bench for this game, and there's a doubt about that. And so there was pressure on Sexton, but there was also a big opportunity for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's a bit of both. And I think the Lions really needed him to stand up and take control of things. I thought he was a really dominant figure on the pitch. As you say, Owen Farrell's a doubt. Actually, Warren Gatland said just immediately after the game there that he could have played in this game in a pinch. I'm not sure if he's trying to get on the mind games as well as Steve Hansen. But I actually think the Lions have been plotting to use both Sexton and Farrell in the Test series. I thought they looked really slick when they played together at 10-12 in that Crusaders game. And just for me, you know, you got to get your best players on the pitch. And those two guys are just such dominant personalities, such tactically intelligent players that, for me, they both have to be on the pitch. From Johnny's point of view, he obviously started the tour poorly against the Barbarians, kind of carrying over that weak performance from the Leinster semi-final defeat in the Pro 12. But he's built into it really well, and he was back at his best tonight. He was challenging the line with the ball in hand. He was showing that he's not just about kicking. We saw a couple of offloads. We saw really good decision-making in traffic, whether to hit the forward, carrying off a shoulder, or go out the back door. And then we saw that brilliant kicking game. You know, he put one down the right corner in about the 26th minute and just took a bit of wind out of the merry All Black sails. So really back to his best, and I think that bodes particularly well for the Lions, because Johnny Sexton at his best is a guy who can take on and beat the All Blacks.
Did Ben Taylor not play well enough to get into the team?
No.
Yeah, he's had a really good tour. He offers something different, obviously, to Owen Farrell at 12. He beats defenders with such ease, even at this level. And I think he's been one of the best players on the tour, but I just think the All Blacks would rather face that kind of threat, even though it's pretty tough to stop. I just think with those two playmakers on the pitch, you can create a lot more opportunities out wide, and Jonathan Davies gives you that direct kind of line. I thought he was good off Sexton today. But I think, yeah, Benty was definitely in the mix there after such an impressive tour.
You were pretty definitive there, Hayden. You're saying no.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's mouthwatering to think of Benty over Sonny Bill. But I just think if you have that twin threat with Farrell and Sexto, then it's a whole different ballgame for especially the midfield and the Lions, which is, you know, it's not concrete.
Yeah. As in, we don't know what the best midfield combination
is. That's what I mean.
If there was an outstanding midfield combination, you'd have to go with it, but there isn't. So what is the difference in terms of your defence when you're looking at a Farrell and Sexton situation? Like, what are the questions that the All Blacks will be forced into answering as the game evolves when you've got two players who are effectively both playing 10?
Mm. Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, if you play, I don't know, this is just from my point of view, if you play T.O. at 12, it's going to be direct. You're going to have people running off him. You can kind of, you know, the All Blacks are smart. They'll
it's telegraphed.
That.
Yeah.
It's telegraphed. Where if you've got Farrell, like Benny's had a great tour. I do, you know, I'm certain about that. But with Farrell, like Sexto, he's took to the line today. He offload, like he said. But Farrell can do that as well. And also, like, Farrell's a really good passer. So if you have that in the midfield, then that puts some doubts to whether what the other midfield can do.
Yeah. Okay. The other big question, obviously, is who's going to captain the team? Who's going to start in the back row? And was there any suggestion, any evidence coming from Gatland after this match that he knows exactly what's going to happen? Murray, do you think, or is that still to be decided over the next couple of days?
Yeah, he didn't give anything away there. I think he's probably all along been hoping that Sam Warburton was going to play himself into the Test team and not be a doubt, I guess. But Sean O'Brien, for me, has kind of grabbed hold of that seven shirt. He has so much energy on the pitch. Even if you listen to the ref, Mike, he's just constantly chirping away at teammates, at opposition. And I think he gives you that great ball-carrying strength as well as the breakdown threat. You know, everyone talks about Sam Warburton's breakdown ability, but Sean O'Brien last November against the All Blacks in Dublin turned over the ball three times clean, not even penalties. And we saw a big one today again. So for me, he's got that seven shirt nailed down. I guess the only concern for Peter O'Mahony is, and his audition was brilliant tonight. He was really good at managing the referee. He got in Jakob Paper's ear early on and he kind of wrangled that penalty count back in the Lions' favour. And the only concern is whether Gatland goes with Warburton and O'Brien in the back row. But I just don't think Warburton has shown enough match fitness, enough match sharpness for Gatland to break up what is a really balanced back row. You know, Talupe Falateau has been excellent. And the kind of combination of strengths with O'Mahony's line out and O'Brien's carrying and Falateau's all-round play, for me, that looks like a really, really interesting test back row, I think.
Yeah, this is your area of expertise in the second rows as well. What having watched this and all the evidence that we have to this point, do you think is going to happen here, Hayden?
In the second row?
The second row and the back row as well, because it all comes down to if the two English lads who started today start and everybody kind of after that performance thinks they probably should, then that means Alwyn Jones is on the bench. And if Sean O'Brien starts and maybe there is a situation where O'Brien starts and Warburton also starts, then obviously Warburton's captain. But if that other circumstance happens and suddenly Peter O'Mahony comes from nowhere to be captain of the Lions for the first test.
Yeah, it was always a crazy selection. Like, yeah, Warburton could get in there, but as captain, like, that was straight away my initial feel. Like, how do you play him and Sean O'Brien together? Because I think he'd have to be in there somewhere for the test because he didn't really play too much towards the end of the Pro 12.
Yeah.
So he was going to be in there somewhere. Falateau has to be number one, in my opinion, if you're picking the forward pack. He's been unbelievable this tour, and it's difficult. I think O'Mahony was really good today. I saw him limping just before half time as they were running off. I don't know how serious that was.
I think that was a boot issue, and then there was another injury about 20 minutes before full time, which everybody was a bit concerned about. But he's grand by all accounts.
Yeah, I watched the Highlanders game the other day where Warburton played. He made 5 tackles the whole game. Luke Whitelock, the captain of the Highlanders, made 18. That's pretty pressing, and it's a massive step for
him. He is beloved by the coach. He's the coach's best boy. That must annoy teammates a little bit?
Surely. Like, if my open side flanker is making 5 tackles, and come on, something's going on.
Are people having a word with him afterwards in a situation like that, or is it the type of thing that...
He's the captain of the Lions, like.
Yeah.
You'd think maybe Alwyn Jones would have something to say to him because he's, you know, he's a senior player.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who are you picking in the second row?
Cruz, number one. Atojo needs to step up. Like, in my eyes, he should be there, but he really hasn't played outstanding, like, to be number two.
Yeah. Not good enough today? Getting there?
He's around, like, he's always off the ball, you know, pushing, shoving. Like, just do something. Like, Cruz is carrying, like, he carries a lot. He does a lot of grunt work. Atojo needs to stick some bodies with him, I think.
Yeah.
But then again, like Wyn Jones, I wasn't too big of a fan of his before coming over this side of the world, but he's been impressive this tour. I like him.
Okay. That's interesting. You didn't like him from afar. You're like,
oh, yeah. I was stuck in the Southern Hemisphere, mate.
Didn't rate anybody, really, probably.
Nah, well, a little bit more than New Zealanders know these days, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Murray, what's the feeling there about who's going to start and who's fit enough to start and what Gatland wants in the second row and the back row?
Yeah, the interesting chat here, I guess, post-match, is that if Marouane Toje and George Cruz start, I actually thought they were impressive enough together as a unit. And because it was such a dominant pack performance, that certainly goes in their favour. I definitely hear what Hayden is saying about the kind of posturing by Atoji off the ball. He gave away one really stupid penalty today where he got choke tackled and he didn't give the ball back. It was just a silly, silly 3 points from an international second row. But I think the chat and the feeling here is that those two are going to start. And then the interesting thing becomes whether Alan Wynne-Jones is really a bench lock. Is Ian Henderson a better impact player in that kind of position, coming off the bench late in the game, offering big carries, which he did again tonight. And he had a really impressive performance against the Highlanders as well. The other interesting talking point over here about that test team is the left wing. George North, he's just in such timid form. It's really weird watching him be so kind of shy of contact and shy of getting in the air to get underneath box kicks. Obviously, he had that big error for the Mary All Blacks try when he turned and he went back and the ball slipped through and he half in his legs. He also dropped a high ball just before that. So I think he actually played himself out of the test team, even with that reputation he has. So there's a big decision there for Gatland, I think. I think Watson and Halfpenny did enough in the back three to nail down their spot. So is it Elliot Daly on the left wing? Is it Liam Williams? Or does Gatland go with North's reputation despite the poor form? They're the kind of talking points on this side of the water. But certainly the Lions are in a better shape now. They're a lot more confident. It was really interesting that just after the game, Warren Gatland finally came into a press conference ready, and he had a good snipe back at Steve Hansen. You know, Anton had all these pot shots at Gatland throughout the tour about his style of play, about, oh, he says he has surprises up his sleeves, but I see nothing but arms. And finally, Gatland came out and he said, why is Steve Hansen talking about me so much? I've never seen the All Blacks talk about teams this much. Maybe Steve Hansen is worried about what we can do. So I thought that dynamic just changing after the game and after a big Lions performance was really interesting.
Yeah, I think everybody was a little bit scared about what might be facing the Lions up until this point, when suddenly we started to see Sexton play well. Sexton and Murray are hopefully going to start 9 and 10, it looks like, after this performance. And if they add Owen Farrell at 12, or whatever that combination is there, you'd be pretty happy about that. But the forwards were great today. They monstered that pack. And when the pressure was on, particularly after the yellow card, they decided, right, now is our moment. And by that stage, they'd already knackered the New Zealand Maori pack. So, I think it has suddenly infused a confidence in the fans as well as everybody else.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
Oh, go, Murray.
Yeah, I definitely. That's certainly the vibe over here. The fans are absolutely loving that performance. And I just think, it's changed slightly because we're seeing now the strengths that we thought we'd see from the Lions. We're seeing that four pack, that kicking game. Last night we saw the All Blacks kick, return and counter-attack. So we're seeing the test series that we had hoped to see, and it looks like it's going to be quite competitive now.
Yeah, what about the forwards? What did you make of them today?
It's really good to see, from the Lions' point of view, a maul finally start to take shape.
And, yeah.
I was really puzzled why they weren't going to their maul, and when they did, they were kind of getting beasted. So it's actually really good for them to see that going forward today.
How long did that take to get right? Is that just about time and contact hours and playing on the pitch together? Because they all know how to do it, right?
It's a dynamic. And coming from different teams, let alone different countries, everyone has their own little intricacies of how the maul should go and how it should set up and how you support the man with the ball. So it's good to see it coming along. I was happy with the Lions scrum as well today. There's been a lot of interpretation and a lot of stick given out about that, especially down in the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, so Gatland was having a pop about that as well, about the engagement.
Yeah, it's just different, you know. And
what do you think when you see your head coach sparring with the other head coach? Are you happy about it? Yeah. Like, is the thing you're like, yeah, go for it?
I love it, yeah. Good, like, you stick... People slag him constantly. Like, Steve, Mr. Hansen has, he's got the best setup in the world, and like, he obviously deserves his confidence and he's entitled to that. But to see Warren stand up and finally, have a crack of his own.
Yeah.
Especially with a bit of substance behind him, that is 32-10-1. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you make then of Hansen? Do you agree with what Gatland is saying, that obviously there is a bit of fear there? Because remember, this is the team, like, he took over a team who'd won the World Cup and then turned them into the greatest team of all time, went on that unbelievable run, put in the best performance. It was never in doubt that they were going to win the World Cup in such stunning fashion. Mm. And they've won everything since. And here he is chirping away about stuff in advance of a test series.
That's good on him. Like, make a bit of theatrics out of it.
Okay, yeah. Like, so you think they're both doing a good job?
Yeah, exactly. It just builds it. And, we sit here and trying to be... As a rugby nation, administrators, players, everything, we try and be politically correct and say the right things and make everybody feel nice.
Yeah, but actually, we should be enjoying this.
Yeah, that's a bit of crack, He's come out, he's baiting Warren. Warren's bitten, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Has the general sense from the New Zealand media changed at all, Murray? Just reading some of the comments under on the Stuff website, it was pretty interesting. They were. They thought that was a really boring performance from the Lions, which I suspect also means they're a little bit worried too.
Yeah, I don't think that tone is going to change. I think, particularly in the New Zealand Herald, they've been happy to kind of row in behind Gatland and stick to Hansen rather, and stick to the All Blacks kind of message and pile a bit of pressure on the Lions. But as Hayden says, that's probably a bit of fun. And I think the Lions probably welcome that in a way, to feel that kind of pressure, to feel that underdog kind of challenge and have kind of everyone kind of weighing on top of you. Certainly the big personalities in this Lions group, like Sexton and Farrell and Conor Murray, will probably enjoy playing in that environment. But no, I don't think the tone is going to change over here. It's the Lions very much against the country rather than just one rugby team.
Obviously, we don't want to get carried away after one performance, and the All Blacks did put up 70-odd points in their game this same weekend. But all of a sudden, it does feel like we are going to have a proper contest next weekend.
Yeah, I think we've definitely seen that now. And as I mentioned, you're seeing the clash of styles, has probably developed the way we thought it would towards the test series. And you've got a really fascinating kind of tactical battle there and kind of varying strengths, although the All Blacks are pretty good at everything. I do have to say, like, we shouldn't get too carried away. The Lions have always been up against a massive, massive challenge over here. They're playing the best team in the world, a team that's just incredibly clinical, that if you make one turnover error or you kick too long on one occasion, they'll go the length of the field and they'll score, and their locks and props can handle just as well as their backs. So definitely for me, the Lions are still major underdogs for this test series. But I think there is a more positive vibe, and I think, you know, everyone will welcome the fact that it looks like, you know, the Lions aren't just going to get steamrolled in the test series now, that they have things they can do to challenge the All Blacks.
Yeah, we're going to
just bring on that first test.
We're all going to get rewarded for making sure that we're in front of our TVs in plenty of time for next weekend. Murray, great stuff. Thanks a million.
Cheers, lads.
That's Murray Kinsella, the 42 there. Hayden, before we go, has retirement treating you? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's pretty easy at the moment. Kind of starting to think a little bit more seriously about things.
Like, yeah,
it's all, you know, been thank yous and well done and good luck. But now it's going to be time to start, you know,
thinking about what's
doing
next.
Something about it, yeah.
We do a lot of stuff with Andy Dunn on the show, and before the Heineken Cup, or the European Champions Cup rather, quarter final, he was saying that at training sessions, whenever Leo will be having difficulty explaining to the forwards exactly what he wants them to do, he'll call you over and go, here, listen, you show them. And then you show them, they're like, oh, I get it now. So is coaching part of your future?
The practice dummy. I've thought about it, yeah. I have. Yeah, I've thought about it. But my line of thinking, right, is I've been doing this for, let's say, 14 years, okay? I've kind of got to the point now where I've just finished and I've ended on my terms.
Yeah.
It's not concussion or injuries.
Yeah, because you're in pretty good shape.
I'm pretty good, touch wood. I almost need to take a step away to find the spark again.
Yeah.
I just a bit scared if I, like, Leo's a classic example for me. Like, he's come from playing bang straight into head coach of Leinster. And that looks scary to me.
Yeah.
I know, I'll try and go to a club level or, a lower, younger level. But I need just some time away, and no doubt I'll come back to coaching, yeah.
Because you did kind of say you'd fallen out of love with the game a bit, and with the trappings of the game and how it's developed and evolved.
Yeah, it's a different beast now. Like, I said to a few people now, it's almost unrecognisable to me. I definitely wasn't your normal path to playing professional rugby. I worked.
You were an army mechanic.
Army mechanic. I played on Saturday and Sundays for different teams. Like, I played club rugby, semi-pro, before, you know, making it to the good stuff. So it's been like I've been exposed to every kind of level.
Mm.
Well, that you can, and like to me almost. What it is now is just, it's too serious. It's too hard. Not hard, but it's too much pressure.
And yet you played, I think it's fair to say, some of your best rugby in the last couple of seasons of your career. And
yeah. You're
kind of reaching an age where it's second rows go on and on and on and on. Donnick O'Callaghan's still playing at 40.
Yeah. And like, this is my decision. Like, I want to be able to play with the kids when they're a bit older and kicking the ball around. I want to, you know, be able to still do, you know, dig the shovel into the ground and rip the earth up and plant. You know, I want to be able to do things on my terms.
Yeah.
Some people say it's too early. To me, it's not. I'm happy here.
Here in Ireland? Do you see your future here?
That was the goal. Things have kind of transpired, and like a load of lovely people have tried to help and try to get us to stay here. But really, it's we've come to the decision that, you know, for our kids, and it's better to just probably go home.
To New Zealand?
Yeah. But it, like, mate, this changes every day, so
okay.
Who knows?
So we'll ask you next week, and
yeah,
hopefully,
please do.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's been brilliant having you, and thanks so much. It was a really amazing explanation of why this game mattered so much today. So thanks a million, Hayden.
No worries. Happy to, and thanks again.